This is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey, and we're continuing our program today by talking about the life and legacy of Virgil Abloh. He was raised in Rockford, and the well-regarded designer died a week ago Sunday after having cardiac angiosarcoma, which is a rare form of cancer. He was 41. Born to Ghanaian immigrant parents who settled in Rockford, Abloh attended Boylan Catholic High School. He also received a Master of Architecture at the Illinois Institute of Technology, where his interest in fashion began. His mother, a seamstress, taught him the basics of her trade. His creative process was sort of like the Nike slogan, a brand he often collaborated with. As it goes, just do it.
What drives me is curiosity, and I promote giving students the platform to be curious and let their ideas wander. I'm an eternal optimist, so I fundamentally believe that the world can be better. You know, I don't think about boundaries. I don't think about boxes. I'm an optimist that believes in creativity. And of course, when you do that, all of a sudden you start drawing all over the paper and not within the lines.
Abloh wore many hats as the first African-American artistic director at Louis Vuitton and founder of his own brand, Off-White. He changed the face of streetwear. He designed clothing worn by everyone from Serena Williams to Spike Lee and had an extensive relationship with the rapper and designer Kanye West. Rockford Mayor Tom McNamara declared December 1st as Virgil Abloh Day in Rockford. State Representative Maurice West said Abloh went from an intern to a legend within 10 years. Here to tell us more about the designer and his legacy is Vanessa Friedman, fashion director and chief fashion critic for the New York Times. Vanessa, welcome to the 21st.
Thanks so much, Brian. Nice to be with you.
And listeners, we want to know if you potentially have any connection to the late Virgil Abloh. Maybe you were just a fan of his designs or familiar with his work. You can join the conversation by giving us a call at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Or you can tweet us at 21st Show. So, Vanessa, you've covered Virgil, and you're the head fashion critic, as I said, at the New York Times. For maybe listeners who are not as into the world of streetwear and, you know, hypebeast culture, what should people know about his work? Why has it been so influential?
It was really because of what he said in that quote you guys used. Like, he completely refused to acknowledge boundaries and boxes that people wanted to put him in and put his work in. So yes, maybe it started as streetwear, but he never considered what he was doing streetwear. He would do tailoring, he would do red carpet, he did Hailey Bieber's wedding dress. You know, for him, those old definitions and limitations between sectors or educational pathways simply no longer were relevant. And I think it was in breaking down those barriers and in crossing those borders that really his greatest legacy lies.
So back in 2020, you wrote an article, the title was, "Is Virgil Abloh the Karl Lagerfeld for Millennials?" Right? He's been called the Andy Warhol for our times, a Renaissance man. But that comparison to Karl Lagerfeld, who was a designer for Chanel and Fendi, you wrote that a lot of people in fashion found the comparisons blasphemous. Why is that?
Yeah, it upset a lot of people. Well, Carl, you know, they were clearly completely different people from very different backgrounds. Carl was German and white and a couturier and, you know, someone who was deeply, deeply rooted in the French tradition of design. And, you know, Virgil was someone who didn't formally study fashion. He didn't come from the atelier. He came out of the music industry. He studied architecture. Everything about him, a Black child of immigrants from America, you know, was different from Carl. And I think for many people, the jury is still out on, you know, on his contribution as a pure designer, i.e. in terms of silhouette and the construction of garments. But the thing about Carl and why he was such a formative designer, and even though he had a career that was almost 60 years long, is that he really changed not so much what we wore as how we even thought about what fashion meant and how we thought about the role of a designer. And to me, that also is something that Virgil did. You know, no designer who comes after him is going to consider the same limitations on what they have to do to become a designer that existed before him. And so to me, they had very similar kind of omnivorous creative minds. They didn't discriminate against objects because they might be high culture or low culture. You know, nothing was off limits to either of them. And sometimes for both of them, that meant they were doing too much and maybe not all of it was as good as other parts of it. But that excitement about the world, the curiosity about the world, the desire to kind of touch every aspect of the world that has to do with aesthetics and an identity, I think was absolutely trademark for both of them. And Virgil was simply a different version of that idea. I wrote that piece, he responded to me on social media and said he was going to give a lecture. He said it was just too much to unpick here, do it on social media. He was going to give a lecture on it. I said, well, come and do it at the Time Center, which is where we have our events. And all of social media thought this was like the beginning of some huge throwdown between the two of us. but we both meant it sincerely. And, you know, that was one of the things that I so admired about him was his willingness to engage and to think about any point of view, whether or not he shared it.
I'm so glad you mentioned in there high culture, low culture, right? That distinction, because I had been under the impression as just a humble Midwesterner who reads the New York Times that those distinctions were being worn away, right? Can you talk about, was Virgil a disruptor? How did he think about that high culture, low culture distinction?
I mean, honestly, I think he didn't think about it at all. To him, it was all the same stuff. And it was all this pool of, you know, of objects and totems, like abstract, you know, concrete representations of abstract ideas that individuals attach to as expressions of who they are. And to him, anything that could qualify for that definition was interesting. So it could be McDonald's, it could be Evian, it could be IKEA, it could be Louis Vuitton, it could be a Vitra, it could be Rimowa, it could be something that was incredibly expensive and very inaccessible for many people, and it could be something that was entirely ubiquitous. To him, it was all the same thing because they're all objects that people use to define who they are, and that is what he was really interested in.
Let me take a moment to remind listeners, this is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking with Vanessa Friedman, who's chief fashion critic at the New York Times, about the life and legacy of Virgil Abloh, who died a week ago Sunday from a rare form of cancer. He was 41 years old. And as I mentioned earlier, he was from Rockford, a 1998 graduate of Boylan Catholic High School. The principal, Amy Ott, sent a statement that reads in part, "He was a groundbreaking artist on a global stage, daring collaborator, and an inspiration and advocate for new artists. Our prayers are with his wife, children, parents, and sister." The statement goes on to say, "In recent years, Virgil actively kept Boylan and our students involved in his success. In 2018, in advance of his Nike and Off-White collaboration for the World Cup, Virgil unveiled his jerseys and cleats to our soccer teams and included a handwritten note that read, 'This is all for you. I was once in the same green and white uniform. Enjoy these off-white jerseys. Once a Titan, always a Titan.'" Vanessa, as we said earlier, Virgil didn't go to school for fashion. He's the child of immigrants from Ghana. He was also a DJ and designed furniture. Can you talk a little bit about his background and how he found his way into the fashion industry?
I think it really happened by accident. When he was studying architecture, he met Kanye West and got drawn into his orbit and eventually became his creative director at Donda. And he really adopted that point of view, I think, that marks Kanye's kind of creative collective, which is this almost like incubator of ideas that can go from music to album covers, to objects, to fashion. And at the time, Kanye was very interested in fashion. And actually, in 2009, famously went to Fashion Week with a kind of group of people that included Virgil, and they tried to crash various shows and really disrupted the runway and became kind of paparazzi magnets. And from there, he decided he wanted to go to intern at Fendi, and he brought Virgil with him. And that was how Virgil got sucked into the orbit of LVMH, which is the luxury conglomerate that owns Louis Vuitton. And it's where he got his formal training.
So I want to ask about this idea of race in the fashion industry. I mean, I was reminded thinking about Ablo's life and career of this satire. I don't know if you're familiar with it, this commercial that Spike Lee included in a movie. I want to say it was Bamboozled. I couldn't track it down before, but sort of really taking on Tommy Hilfiger in rather terms I will not repeat on the radio. But Ablo is the first African-American artistic director of Louis Vuitton. Can you talk about what it meant to see a Black man in that position in fashion?
I mean, he was the first Black artistic director at Louis Vuitton. He was one of the rare Black artistic directors at a French, you know, at a heritage fashion house ever anywhere. I think you can, you know, count the number of Black designers who have gotten to that space on one hand. And that is both indicative of fashion's long held problem with race and the systemic racism that was built into the industry. But it also, you know, it was a great vote of, it was a great moment of for the future when he got the job. And I think you really saw it and saw the change that he was making after his first menswear show for Vuitton, which was held in the Palais Royal, when he and Kanye famously embraced at the end of the show and both of them were weeping. I think, you know, the idea that they had achieved that dream and, you know, could then become a role model, had pushed open that door for all the would-be designers and, you know, and talent that would come after them was incredibly important. You know, Virgil gave an interview to a magazine called Vestio a couple of years ago where he talked a lot about this. And he said he sort of thought of himself as a Trojan horse because he never really pushed the issue of race in his role as a designer until 2020, when it became really core to the conversation in fashion. You know, before that, he kind of played the traditional game, and only afterwards did he really, you know, open up the Trojan horse to reveal that, you know, one of his goals was to change the face of the industry, to make it look like the world, and he did.
Do you see him paving the way for younger Black creatives in the field?
Absolutely. I mean, not just as an example, but, you know, he did it actively. He was incredibly important in terms of mentorship to a host of designers. You know, he was endlessly DMing people on his phone. Like, he was just engaged in multiple conversations all the time. And whenever he found someone whose work he was interested in on Instagram, or they found him, he would engage in this extensive dialogue. And that made an enormous difference for any number of young creatives who, you know, who were still in school, who weren't famous, who were not anywhere near his peer, but whom he helped mentor and guide through the fashion world. He had established the Postmodern Fashion Scholarship Fund to help young Black kids get into fashion. I mean, I think he did so much work behind the scenes, as well as being the face in front of them, to change the makeup of the industry.
Your obit on Ablo in the Times said, for him, clothes were totems of identity. What does that mean?
It means that clothing and fashion are objects that we use to communicate to the world who we are, right? When we get up in the morning, those are the choices we make about what we put on our body, or choices about who we are in that moment, the values that we want to embody, and how we want the rest of the world to see us, literally and metaphorically. And I think for him, that's really what fashion was about. It was a way to help shape and to reflect the changes he saw in community and society around him.
What do you think is his legacy going to be in the field, right? What sort of, I mean, we've talked about mentoring younger people, bringing them up, and the effect he's had. Do you see him? I mean, will we still be talking about him 10, 20, 30 years later?
Yeah, I think we will. I think we will. Again, not so much in terms of the silhouette, which is how people talk about, say, Cristobal Balenciaga, you know, or Dior. They'll say, oh, the new look, or the sack dress, or the cocoon coat. But in terms of the sheer possibility of what can be done in fashion, of who gets entree to that world, who gets to say what fashion is, he completely changed the game. And that to me is his greatest legacy.
And do you think there will be a reconsideration among some of the people who are maybe offended at the Lagerfeld comparison that we were talking about earlier?
I mean, the funniest thing to me has been that, you know, in other Opus and other stories since Virgil's death, he's often referred to as Virgil Abloh, comma, who was called the Karl Lagerfeld for millennials, comma, with no irony attached to it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Vanessa Friedman, I want to thank you so much for being with us today on the 21st.
Pleasure to speak with you.
Vanessa Friedman is fashion director and chief fashion critic for the New York Times. We've been remembering the life and legacy of Virgil Abloh, who is an Illinois native, grew up in Rockford, became the fashion director at Louis Vuitton, or artistic director at Louis Vuitton, and just rose to the heights of the fashion industry with his brand Off-White as well. We're going to continue the 21st in just a moment. After the break, we're going to be talking with two music directors of Illinois orchestras about the holiday arts season. If you want to join our conversation, we'd love to hear from you. If there are performing arts, holiday traditions that you and your family have, 800-222-9455 is the number to call. Whether it's an orchestral concert or the Nutcracker Ballet or a stage play of Dickens' Christmas Carol, let us know. 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. That conversation is coming up after a short break. You're listening to The 21st. Stay with us.